Our scripture lesson this morning is in the gospel, or not the gospel, the book of Acts, chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. You can find this on page 884 in your pew Bibles. And here we will hear the story of the Ascension. That's the formal church name for this day when we talk about how Jesus left earth and was taken up into heaven. Acts chapter 1. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. O God, open our eyes to see you, our ears to hear you, our minds to know you, our hearts to love you, and our hands to serve you. Amen. When we think of the two high holy days of the church year, what comes to mind? Christmas and Easter is what you said. I heard Christmas and Easter. So, and then after that, if we might name some of the other important days of the church year, what would you add to that list? Pentecost. I heard something back here. Passover. Tabernacles. That, you're saying Lent things, so that is like Ash Wednesday and Maundy Thursday, all of the Holy Week things of Lent, then Pentecost, which comes next week. We get that. That's the Holy Spirit Sunday. But I doubt any of you had come to mind the Ascension, which is what we're doing today. Ascension Day was actually last Thursday, and it's always on a Thursday, and it because it comes 46 days after Easter. So as Easter moves around the calendar, Ascension Day moves around the calendar. And since we don't go to church on Thursdays, we will have Ascension Day today. And Ascension is, very simply, as I shared with the children, the day when Jesus, the walking around on the earth Jesus, leaves the world for good. He's been resurrected and hanging around with the disciples for 40 days in his resurrected body. But as a friend of mine likes to say, he's got to get back to headquarters. And so he is dramatically taken up in a cloud to heaven, leaving stunned disciples behind. The bottom line, Jesus is gone. And I wonder, what was it like for them to go back to their friends and tell them what had happened? Perhaps this news was as weird and unbelievable as it was 46 days earlier when they had told their friends that Jesus was back from the dead. Now you see him, now you don't. Now you see him again, and now you don't. It It seems to me also that things are not so much different for us now, 2,000 years later. Where's Jesus? We wonder. I mean, when we consider the world around us, he's not a very prominent figure. And there are plenty who say that this is a world that has been abandoned by God, a world where moment by moment children are dying in poverty and preventable diseases, a world where tyrants are planning to secure their power over suffering peoples, a place where men and women are struggling to put their lives back together after natural disasters, a place where people are dying in loneliness and anxiety all around us. Where is Jesus indeed? As Christians, though, people who gather week after week, we might answer differently. Looking around this room, we could say that Jesus is up there in the window, our beautiful Good Shepherd window. Y'all don't get to see it too much. Take a look as you walk out. We might say that Jesus is here on the table. We might say that Jesus is in our hearts throughout this room. All true. But is that it? Because we know he's not walking around on earth anymore. The answer to the question, where's Jesus, is he's gone. Which leads us to another question, and a better question. Now what? And one of the places that we find the answer to that question, now what, that he's been taken, is in art. You see, when artists paint or draw the ascension of Jesus, both classical images and contemporary ones, there's often a similar feature. The disciples, those remaining on earth, are depicted as reaching up for Jesus as he's being taken away. And sometimes his feet are shown dangling at the very top of the image, just right outside the frame, these 2 feet, and they always have the nail holes in them. This image captures, for me, the answer to the question, now what? And the answer is that we should reach for the feet of Jesus. Even as we are left gazing up into heaven, scratching our heads, wondering, looking around for him, we reach for the feet of Jesus. The wounded feet of Jesus, to be sure, to remember that his suffering and death were for us. Reach for the feet of Jesus, though the resurrected feet of Jesus, in the sense that we want our Lord to be close to us and still with us in spirit, in prayer, in reading the Bible, in participation in his body, the church. Because there's always the danger of an out of sight, out of mind relationship with God. We reach for the feet of Jesus in the same way that Jesus reached for the feet of the 12, even Judas, on the night in which he was betrayed, when he demonstrated an undying love for them in servanthood as he washed their feet. We too look for places where we can love one another, even as Jesus loved us, not allowing the Judases in our life to escape our Christ-like love. Can you imagine what your life would look like if you were constantly reaching for the feet of Jesus? What about the church? If the church was constantly reaching for the feet of Jesus? You know, there are many good things for us to reach for, good things that are good in and of themselves, like good grades, next step in a career, a certain friendship, a comfortable home, financial stability, a healthy body, things that can all serve us well. But Christians are not called to serve themselves. We are called to live beyond ourselves for God and for others. And we do that by reaching for the feet of Jesus. I have friends that long ago moved from Massachusetts to Pennsylvania. They lived in the little town we live in Maynard, Mass, a little family of four, and they moved to Lancaster, Pennsylvania when they got a job change. And as they sold their home in Maynard and then had the money to buy a house in Pennsylvania, rural Pennsylvania, they realized very quickly that what they made on their little house in Maynard would buy them a pretty big house in Lancaster. And for financial reasons, they needed to spend all the money they'd taken on this house and put that into their next house. And it made them uncomfortable because their little family of four did not need a house as big as they would buy to be able to spend all of their house money on their next house. They were uncomfortable with it, and yet they had to do it. And so what they did was they decided to dedicate this house to the service of Christ. And it would be a place where they would intentionally provide Christian hospitality and express the love of Christ, which meant being a home where their girls, as they grew into their teenage years and beyond, theirs would be the house to hang out in. And they would have people in from the church, and they would see their home even as an extension of their church so that they could provide hospitality in a home that they felt was too much for just the four of them. That's reaching for the feet of Jesus. The story goes about an artist who painted a scene with a storm at sea. Big black clouds filled the sky. There were lightning flashes and strikes, and a little boat could be seen disintegrating amongst the pounding of the waves. People were struggling in the swirling waters. Everybody was out of the boat, and they were anguished in their faces. The only glimmer of hope appeared in the foreground of the painting, where a large rock was sticking out of the water. And there, clutching desperately with both hands, was the one lone seaman who would survive. It was a moving scene. And looking at the painting, you could see in the tempest the symbol of humanity's chaos and hopelessness, and then the hope of salvation as the rock of ages, a shelter in the time of a storm. But as the artist reflected upon his work, he realized that the painting did not accurately portray what he wanted to say. So he threw it out and painted another one. It was very similar to the first one. Black clouds, flashing lightning, angry swirling waters, a little boat crushed in the pounding of the waves, and the crew vainly struggling inside the water. But in the foreground, the man who was holding onto the rock for salvation was where he made the change. You see, the artist was a Christian. And in this version, the one survivor was holding onto the rock only with one hand, so he could be reaching out and holding the hand of a dying man in the water with the other hand. That's a really good image. That's an answer to the question. He's gone. Now what? Reaching for the feet of Jesus in love and service of others. And you know, sitting here today, you don't have to reach too far to get some Jesus in your hand. In fact, the deacons will serve him right to you where you're sitting in the pews. And as we reach for him, so we will also find ourselves lifted up and beyond, which will give us a godly perspective on our lives and a way to keep us on his path. That Jesus returned to the heavenly realm gives us a magnifying glass into God's heart that no one and nothing else can. And somehow, and I don't know how, he gives us access, a connection to a life beyond our own, even as we live it out here and now. That's what our church's statement, Sharing Christ and Changing Lives, is all about. Where is Jesus? In this room, certainly. Where is Jesus? In our hearts? I hope so. Where is Jesus? Beyond these doors? Absolutely. And the farther we get from this table, the farther we get from this room, the farther we may need to reach. But remember, even though he's out of sight, he's not out of reach. Not at all. Amen. As the choir gets into place and we consider what this week we can make as an offering to God, I wonder if you can let feet be a reminder. You're going to be putting shoes or sandals on all week long. When you see your own feet, let those remind you of the feet of Jesus dangling off of a picture frame somewhere, that you can be reaching for others in Christ-like love. And that is reaching for the feet of Jesus. And that's what the church does. The ushers will come to receive our tithes and offerings.
Please join me in our unison prayer of dedication. Bless, O God, the gifts we present to you this day. May they honor you and show the depth of our gratitude for all that you have given us through Jesus Christ, risen Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we believe your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to have ascended to heaven, so we may also in heart and in mind there ascend, and with him continually dwell, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever. Help us be faithful and mindful of your continuous presence, and help us rely upon you. Lord, we ask that you bring our friends and families who do not walk with you into the light and help them find you. Lord, for those of us who sometimes are questioning and are finding our faith tried, we ask that you bolster our souls. Lord, we pray to you. Lord, I pray that you be with grieving families and continue to comfort the Smith family who lost their beloved Brad so unexpectedly, and let the Gowdies feel your presence as we gather for Bob's memorial service this afternoon. Lord, in this time of pastoral transition, we thank you for the ministry of Reverend Gail Miller. We are also thankful for the living blessings among us, your faithful servants, the Reverend Skip Lloyd and his 45 years of pastoral service, and the Reverend Marvin Caldwell's 30 years of pastoral ministry. Because, Lord, the world needs your ministers, both ordained and lay. The shooting in Virginia tells us the world is broken and in need of healing. Help the wounded heal, Lord, and take into your loving embrace those who perished. Give opportunities to your faithful servants and disciples to listen to and love those who feel so unloved that the only way they can alleviate their pain is to commit violence. Let them be healed so that violence will end and not become multiplied. Let your servants reach those who would strike out against the innocent. Lord, send us more causes for joyful celebration. We are so grateful for the baptisms of Lily, Ryan, and Joy. Send us, Lord, more folks to care for, to love, to cherish in this community. Lord, we now lift up those names into your light that are on our souls. And Lord, we now lift up that which rests in our hearts that we will not say aloud. Lord, hear our prayer. Amen. Please remain seated for our hymn of preparation. It is fitting this Sunday, Ascension Sunday, that we recall in the breaking of bread and drinking of the cup, we not only remember Jesus' life, but we also recognize Jesus' continual presence with us. We proclaim Christ's resurrection and his relationship to us as living Lord. This is the Lord's table. So the invitation comes from Jesus Christ himself, and it is always the same. Come as you are. It does not matter where you have been or where you are going. It does not matter what you have done or left undone. Regardless of denomination or belief, all those who wish to know Christ better are welcome at this table. This is the Lord's table, and as evidenced by your very presence here today, you are invited. Today, the elements of bread and grape will be distributed by the deacons, and we will hold them and consume them together.
Let us pray. Holy, living, and loving God, we praise you for creating the heavens and the earth. We bless you for bringing Noah and his family through the waters of the flood. We thank you for freeing your people, Israel, from the bonds of slavery, and for sending your Son to be our Lord, Redeemer, and Savior. We give you thanks for Jesus, who, living among us, healed the sick, fed the hungry, and with a love stronger than death, gave his life for others. And so we remember that on the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, blessed it, and broke it, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and poured it out, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life-giving death and glorious resurrection, we await your promised life for all this dying world. Breathe your spirit on us and on this bread and cup. Carry us in your arms from death to life, that we may live as your chosen ones. Through him, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Ministering to us in Jesus' name, the deacons give us this bread.
Thank you.
body of Christ, let us eat and remember. Ministering to us in Jesus' name, the deacons give us the cup. Blood of Christ, let us drink and remember. Join with me in the prayer of thanksgiving printed in your bulletin. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. So as you go this week, reach out for each other, reach out for the feet of Jesus. You may find they are one and the same. And go with the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.